We'll start there. This is very common, very familiar scripture. And it was kind of interesting how it all came about. Me and Brandy were talking about things, about how to know different things, how to know which Bible you're supposed to go with, not because mom and daddy said this is the Bible you go with, but to know why we use the Bible we use. And it might be very elementary to some folks and things, but different people are at different levels in their spiritual growth. Some people don't accept a short answer. They want to know. And then when you tell them that you know, they want to know how you know. And you have to take them to where you know it from. And you have to take it to the Bible, just like Brother Bill's saying here. And it's a real blessing to me and to the ones or to folks that may be unsure, maybe it will clear some things up. And then to the ones that are sure, it'll just be a blessing. It'll be encouragement, and it'll lead us and guide us as we're supposed to go. I'll ask the question here, where does your conviction stand? There's four different types of people that we're going to discuss here in Matthew. Four different heart types, four different soul types, I guess you'd say. But I want us to focus on our heart. And where does your conviction stand? If you weren't here at Mount Lebanon this morning or this afternoon, and you didn't have Preacher Wynn or Sunday school teacher, where does your conviction stand? Not what mom and daddy said or your teacher. Where do you stand as an individual? Because where you stand as an individual is where we stand as a church. That's how it all comes together. Matthew 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell unto good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Now if we skip on down to verse number 18, it's kind of Jesus gave the parable to the people, and some didn't quite understand it, so Jesus went further in the explanation of this. Verse 18, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So as we go through this, there's going to be four different examples that we're going to be given here that Jesus gave as examples. He uses that in the way of soil and the seed. The sower is Jesus. The seed is going to be the word of God. That is what he's given. And we ourselves are going to be the soil types. We're the soil samples that's used here. There's four different categories here, and every person here will fall into one of those categories. Every one of us will. And as we go through this, I want us each to examine ourselves and determine where we fall within these categories. And also, why we fall in those places. It's a good time to examine ourselves. This first type here that is given is the is the seed that has fallen upon the wayside. This morning I was talking to Brandy as we're going to church, and I was looking beside the road as we were traveling, by the wayside, and I got to looking at it, and that's not good ground. That's not ground that I've never seen anybody plant a garden there. And you know, you look at it, and especially this time of year, it's rutted out where the streams have come and taken things away, stripped the nutrients out of it. A lot of sand, a lot of salt, a lot of things that would that if a small seed was to fall upon it, there's nothing there for it to take root into. There's nothing there that it can grow into. And when I was looking at that and thinking about it and thinking about how also the animals that are on the side of the roads, the birds that come and go, anything that falls that might look good or be good, they'll take it away pretty quick. And in looking at that and thinking about that, how does that compare to us or compare to a person, someone that is not receptive to the Word of God? Just like Brother Bill's talking here about the school systems and different things, the state, people you come in contact with, they're callous and they don't want to hear it. They really don't want to hear it. Some people are not equipped with the way their heart is, the condition that their heart is in. They're not equipped to try to take it in. When you look at different people and different upbringings, there's different reasons. Some people, maybe out of ignorance, don't understand this. It might seem like a fairy tale. Some people have heard it before. They don't want to hear it anymore. They've grown hardened. Their heart is not equipped to take it. What we do, how we react to these people, how we live our lives in these people is not to fight with them. All we can do to these people is live it in front of them. You can argue all kinds of points with people, but I don't think arguing is going to solve it. You have to live it and let them see it in you. As we move on forward, I'll try to move along with it. We go up to our next one. That first one there, that's the wayward heart. I'll just give that a kind of a category so we can kind of keep things in line here. And there's four different ones. Our second one is the heart of stone. Let's think about the heart of stone in verses 5 and 6 in 2021. It's talking here about it. It said, some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. This soil is very shallow. This soil is hardened. There's no moisture there. There's no there's not a deep root system. When the root starts to grow, this is the type of person that's received some of the word. The word is actually, the seed has actually been planted, but they don't know what to do with it. They've not necessarily rejected it, but they don't know where to go with it. Lack of knowledge, lack of conviction, if you want to use that word. Think about this. When persecution comes, you think back when you, if you're here tonight and you're saved, and you've experienced some things, some tragedies in your life, some I call them growth spurts. That's what I call them, where you didn't know what you were going to do. You were left stranded thinking, I can't do anything in this situation. Okay, imagine, you think back then, if you're earlier on in your Christian life and you didn't have the knowledge then that you have now after experiencing that. This is what this is explaining here. This is what this is talking about. This is where the word has been given, but we don't know what to do with it. And our conviction, how are we going to grow if we don't listen, if we don't go to the source? If I have a problem, any problem, and I don't resort to prayer and God's holy word, I'm in trouble. Because this flesh can overtake any one of us. Vengeance can be an option. Different things will step out. How we respond is very crucial in this situation. And you really think about it too. Satan knows where we are in our life. He knows our weak points. Okay? He knows our faults. He knows different things. People may have issues of pride. and he may let you be consumed in your pride. If you are not equipped, if we are not equipped to face him with what we have in God's word, it's going to take us away. Our root will be plucked up and we can't handle it. I use the condition here. It talks about the sun, that the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. The kitchen got too hot, and they couldn't survive. You couldn't make it. And that is the description that I give or use for the heart of stone. Moving into the next couple of verses here, in verses 7, that also coincides with verse 22, I give this the title, the lukewarm heart. The heart of the person that's talked about by Jesus when he was talking about, I'd rather be hot or cold and not lukewarm, I'll spew you out. See, this is something here that I really think about, and I think this is probably one of the most pertinent and one of the most serious things that we face in our church today, as individuals and as a church and as the church. When I think about this, I think about compromise. This right here is it talks about, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good, and I'll go into number 8, and choked them. But see, they were... This seed here fell among the thorns, okay? Thorns, if you've ever seen raspberry bushes or these different bushes and the thorns, and they all come up real thick. Very seldom do you look underneath it and see any good growth, like grass or what have you. Even with our best intentions, you know, we read and we study about how the Lord went to people who needed help. We have to be careful where we go and how far we take things in trying to help people. And what I mean by that is this. Within ourselves, we're not as strong as we may think we are at times. We can be overtaken as influenced. This goes for the people that's in high school, and this goes for the people that's from the youngest to the oldest tonight. Every one of us can face this because we have a good intention of heart, but we have to watch about being overtaken. And I've heard Preacher Wynn say this many, many times younger, when he was preaching earlier on at Mountaindale. If you look at your friends right now, soon that's who you're going to become. And I believe that. I've seen it happen many, many times. It's happened to me. I mean, that's truth. And with this heart, this lukewarm heart here, I keep thinking about it, and this is something that came to mind too, is a cartoon that I used to watch when I was a real young kid. It was called The Get Along Gang. And I think about that a whole lot here because we get to a point or can get to a point with people that we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want nobody to be upset with us, so we're going to try to make this thing work out somehow. You know, let's say that the King James Bible, for instance, is old fogey to them. It's fundamentalist, and that word for some reason scares people. I've talked to people, and that scares them. To me, it means basic. And if I want to know what the Bible says, I want to start at a basic level and build up and grow. And in thinking about this here, it's about what are we willing to give up to get along with people? Is that what we're here to do? Is that our goal? Is it to compromise and give up or give in? Or does it have something to do with being able to grow and flourish like God would have us to? And me and my wife have talked about this a whole lot. And it was so great this morning at church when we were talking about it. And that was one thing that they really emphasized, and that was what they were talking about, is the King James Bible and standing up for it and not giving in. And I know people, you know, sometimes say, why are you fuss and argue about that? Why does that even matter? There has to be a standard. There has to be an even plane here, because if everybody here had a different Bible than what I've got, it's going to be confusion. And that's where it starts. And God is not the author of confusion. We have to be on the same page to grow. We can't compromise there. When I kept reading on into it and thinking about it and taking it further, I keep thinking about modernism, and it doesn't matter about any denomination. It goes with everything about how people are wanting to get people inside the church. People, you know, doing anything to try to get people inside, sports, any kind of different service, the contemporary services and things, And, you know, I've had people ask me, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with it? What's right with it? That's my question. If you're not going to use the Bible and go with the way God taught us how to use it, what's right with it? It just never ceases to amaze me how far people will go to try to not confront things. You know, it's not easy sometimes to look somebody in the face and say, I wouldn't go here. I wouldn't do that. But more importantly, to go back to what this message is about, where does your conviction stand? I know where I stand on some things, and I'm learning more and more as I study about other things. I can always go back and say, well, preacher, when I trust you, and there's nothing wrong with this. Is this wrong for me to do? Should I do this? And a lot of times, like Preacher Carl would say, if you're asking, you already know the answer to that question. So we can't rely on somebody else. We have to rely on God. We have to rely on prayer, and we have to rely on His Word. There's no substitute for that. We can't sit back and think that somebody else is going to give us our conviction. I know a lot of people, and I talk to a lot of people about things along these lines, about how they'll go on the internet. I guess probably most everybody's heard of Google. And they will go on the internet to look up information, which there's nothing wrong with that. But they'll go in Google and put in whatever topic it is. And whatever they get back is what they take in as this is the way it's going to be. A lot of times they don't even know who that person is, who they is or who that person is. But then if they do, well, this person has a lot of experience. This person has a doctorate. This person has his master's, and he's way smarter than you. You don't have any of that. I think back to Paul this morning. They were in part of the message that they were talking about how he was not good of speech, but yet he spent his time with God. He spent his time studying, praying. He had experience. He had hands-on experience, and there's a lot to be said for that, a whole lot to be said for that. And to not lose my train of thought here, but I want us to know. I know a guy right now this morning, I know a guy right now that I've actually talked to who has his master's in deity. And he said he's fluent in Hebrew and all these things, and he said he could write a better Bible than the King James Bible. He told me that to my face. He said it's full of errors, and he could write one without error. You see, that's where confusion starts coming into play. And see, that's where compromise starts coming into play, because if we were in court right now, and we had 12 people here in a jury box, and I'm the defense attorney, the only thing I have to do is cause just enough confusion to 12 people to get this trial all out of whack. That's not so hard to do. That's one of the first things that the devil did in the Garden of Eden. I think Preacher was just soon, not long ago, talking about that. All he did was cause question in the Word of God. Right now, you've got so many questions, so many different people questioning the Word of God because they don't know. And how come they don't know? They don't spend time in it. They try to argue a point that they don't know. Instead of taking the time to study it and learn it for themselves, they'd rather argue the point, or their point. Talked to a man this morning who said that he had some kids in college, and they were going to different churches, and he would go with them and visit with them. And churches have their Bibles placed out, and so I guess some of the people had them there as well. And he said, out of all the churches I went to with my kids, not one of them had the Bible that I have. And you see, I think a problem that people can really get into is quantity. Well, everybody else is doing it. The majority is doing it, so it has to be right. Be careful what the majority is doing, because that will lead us astray. I've seen it too many times. And let's don't worry about quantity. Let's worry about quality, the quality of what we have. And stand for it, not compromise for it. It's easy. I mean, it's a battle. As a young preacher, as a new preacher, there's people that ask me questions that I don't know what the answer is. I've not studied those things out, and I don't know. I have to go back and study it. That's where it's all at. One thing I wanted to read here, too, is a little bit in Jeremiah, and this is where it originally started out when I was trying to prepare a message. It was in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verses 25 through 40. It's quite a bit of reading. I couldn't memorize it all, but it's well worth the reading for what I'm trying to express here. See, different people have different kinds of personalities, you know. And I have to say, I'm not really the type of person that wants to pick a fight. And it's not about picking a fight. It's just about standing up for what you believe in. And it's easy sometimes to just maybe stay quiet on it or not trying to tackle it or something. But each and every one of us in this room are accountable for what we tell people. And preachers, when we stand up, we are accountable. And I know this all seems elementary, but it's not. It's that important. Jeremiah 23, verse 25 says, I have heard what the prophet said that prophesied. This is Jesus talking. I have heard what the prophets said, the prophesied lies in my name saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies, and by their likeness. Yet I set them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. For somebody to get up here and tell us what we want to hear, it's not going to profit us at all. Anytime we stray away from God's word, we're not profiting anybody. This isn't a feel situation. This isn't an emotional situation. You have to tell it like it is. It has to come from God's word. And when this people or the prophet or priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered and what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee, and what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say, the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and will forsake you, and the city that I gave you, and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. We're held accountable. I mean, that I really don't even have to expound much on that because it tells it plainly what it is. If we start speaking things that aren't true simply because we don't want to offend somebody, it ain't going to work. We've not done anybody any good, and we've just devastated ourselves and our house. So that was the main point that I wanted to drive home through this whole through this point here, was about the compromise that can come from the seed that falls among the thorns. We've got to be careful about the influences that we take in. We've got to be careful about the information that we spread and where we get it from. That's very important, because we can't say, well, they said, well, I heard, well, my dad said this is the Bible I'm supposed to use, so I'm going to use it. We have to go with our own conviction. Where does your conviction stand? Where does your conviction stand? This third person, or this fourth here, that we go into in verses 8, and then also that complies with verse 23. The first thought I had was the heart of gold, and then I really got to thinking about it's the heart better than gold. Once it's tried by our faith, it's better than silver or gold. This is something to think about here. This is the heart that when the seed falls on it, it's open and receptive. That's a heart that has to drop that pride, because we don't know it all. We have to be open and be receptive to God's word, because even as a saved person, God's word will offend you. There's things in there, there's reproof in there that will offend you. And that's why people don't want to hear it anymore. Majority of people, because to them it's offensive. It doesn't go along with what they say or what they believe. I know of Bibles, I've been really trying to study up on things and different versions of the Bible, and I know of or heard of now that there's a Bible that is supposed to be homosexual friendly. Takes a few things out and move things around to not be offensive. That's amazing. But you know, the thing that I get out of this, or you know, I think about, regardless of how we feel or what we think, that does not change God. That does not change the truth. It's forever settled. So we're just deceiving ourselves if we even try to begin to believe in such things as that. The fertile soil is where seed can sprout, it can grow, and I got to thinking about a garden. I'm not a gardener, but I really got to thinking about that. And when we grow gardens, the first thing that's done that I know of is to bring out a tiller, and that's use that and think about things in your life that's come about, these trials and these tribulations that come out that till your heart up, tears your heart out, and you're thinking, God, why me? What did I do? Think about that. But you know, it's amazing in my life, and I can speak from what little experience that I've had, how you can grow through that. Because once that heart is opened up and you start taking that seed in, it's on good moist ground. You can take that. You know, your pride has been stripped and you're humbled, and it's a time of really reflection. God, I have nowhere else to go but you. And that's the only place we need to go. You know, there's living by faith, and then there's living by faith. And there's a difference. There's a difference. But if we allow God to open our heart up and strip away these things that pull us down and take us down, and open it up and just give back to what God has given us, that's where the fruit comes from. That's where fruit grows. It comes off that fertile ground. You think about all the water and that's added and the nutrients that's given, and where does that come from? That's the Holy Spirit. That's His Word. If we do not take our time to pray, if we do not take our time to study in the Bible, we're not going to grow. We're not going to be able to bear fruit. And I think about different kind of studies that we can do. And there's nothing wrong with studying different books and different things and learning things. But if we do not take the time to study our Bible on a regular basis, if we do not pray on a regular basis, we're not going to grow. That's something I've experienced here in recent life. You know, maybe being in a rush and being busy and say, I just don't have time to pray right now. I just don't have time. But Lord, I'm thinking about you, but I just don't have time. And you just kind of keep going along, and then you stand up here and you think, boy, I could have prayed a little bit more. I could have studied just a little bit more. I could have been a little bit more devoted. I could have tried just a little bit harder. We're going to have to be dedicated if we're going to do it right. This is all about God. It's not about anything in us. We have no ability. None of us in this room have any ability, but we have to be able to be receptive to God's word. Right here, Philippians, and you don't have to turn, it's just a few verses here. Philippians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. That's just real. That really blessed me. Fruits of righteousness. We're going to have to give self out of the way, drop pride to move forward with Him. And I really kept thinking about this and moving forward, this is all about conviction, about having your self-conviction. So I looked up the definition of it. Conviction, to convict, reprove, a law term, being found guilty. In common language, it means being persuaded or convinced. In theology, it means being condemned at the bar of one's own conscience as a sinner in view of the law of God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, showing the heinousness of sin and the soul's exposure to divine wrath. The means of conviction are various: gospel truth, the law, read or heard, reflection, affliction, calamity, and it goes on from there. That's a definition that was taken out of Unger's Bible Dictionary. And see, when I think about conviction, if I'm talking to somebody about things, and I say, you just don't, as a lady, you just don't wear pants to church. Well, why? Because they didn't do it where I went to church, and I don't want you to do it. Is that my conviction, or is that their conviction? That's me trying to put something out there. And I think about this as a preacher, as a Christian, anybody, but specifically as a preacher, I think about it. I think sometimes we can try to play the part of the Holy Spirit if we're not careful. And that's not our responsibility. The Holy Spirit is the one that's responsible for wooing somebody, for somebody's conviction. That's His job. That's not our job. We sow it, we tell it, and we live it. But the Holy Spirit is the one who brings the conviction. I can't go back here and take somebody by the hand and bring them up here and say, you're going to be saved, because I know you're lost and I know you need it. I can't be somebody's conviction. I can't say, you're going to read out of this Bible and you're going to love it because it's my conviction and it's going to be yours. I can't do that. It doesn't work that way. And I really, really sincerely got to thinking about that and praying about that. And, you know, so much time I think maybe is spent on trying to prove that this is the Word of God. The Word of God is going to stand regardless of what we believe. Regardless of what we want to think, it's forever settled. It's real. And if we do not take it as such, we're just deceiving ourselves. Until a person has their own conviction, and their own conviction is settled in their heart, nobody else can decide that for them. It has to be them. It has to be theirs. They have to know why for themselves. And at the beginning, I was talking about examination and us examining ourselves and things. And that's what I want us to think about tonight and just study on and pray on, is where do you stand in your conviction? Not where Preacher Wynn stands when he stands up and preaches in front of us, but where do you stand as an individual with your conviction? Because that's what makes us together as a church who we are. And I just pray that this would... That was the last point that I had. And I just trust and pray that the Lord will take it and use it. This morning it was such a blessing with all the things that was brought up in Sunday school. It was amazing how it flowed together. God really blessed, and I'm thankful for that. But I just want us to focus on God and what our conviction is, not somebody else's, but what our conviction is and why.